Okay. I'm sorry. Let me do it again. Do I need to come up there with the good objects? But no, I'm happy to be in Connecticut. Thank you. How many of you by now know I have a speech impediment? I forgot I'm in Connecticut. Everybody in Connecticut had a speech impediment. If you don't believe me, go down to Walmart. Every time I go to Walmart in Connecticut, I think I'm in an Assembly of God church. Everybody is speaking in unknown tongues. Somebody asked me over 40 years ago, David, are you Baptist? Yep, I am. David, do you speak in tongues? Yep, I do. Do you speak in unknown tongues? Absolutely. Every time I open my mouth, they are unknown. Amen? I never will forget, a 91 elderly lady came up to me in the lobby in Mobile, Alabama, and the 91-year elderly lady said to me, David, I love you. I'm in love with you. I've been ill every single night of the revival, but I have a problem. I said, what's the problem? She said, I can't catch everything you are saying. I said, ma'am, don't worry about that. I don't even catch everything I'm saying. And that's the truth. let me get this over with. It may or may not mean anything to you. 1978. I came to the good state for the first time to speak. And I spoke in Groton, Connecticut, Groton. Are we on the same page? I spoke in, one more time, I spoke in God, good job. But we were there for four-day revival from Sunday to Wednesday, and that revival turned out to be 15 days long. And it's not one of the best. It was the best revival I ever preached in my life. And it's so good to come up here, because when you come up here, I remember how a good time we had over there. So don't blow it. How many of you been to Walmart? How many of you been to Walmart? I told my wife years ago, baby doll, when I die, bury me at Walmart. She said, say what? When I die, bury me at Walmart. She said, what for? I'd say, if I die and you bury me in a dumb cemetery, with a bunch of dead people, you won't ever come see me. But if you build me a Walmart, you will be there every day. Can I get a witness? Thank God for Walmart. You got your Bible today. Tell me when you the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 12. The book of Revelation, chapter 12. And by the way, the guy who walked with me, followed me, Rick Jones, we drove all the way from Nashville up here. 18 hours, nonstop. He picked me up at 4 a.m. yesterday morning. And we got in late last night. So I got out the dictionary and looked up the word idiot. My picture was on the page. Duh. Now, I love you. I'm a little different, but that's okay. 44 years, and I have spoken in over 7,600 judges with a speech impediment. That's a big deal. But to God be the glory. It's not about me. It's all about me. I'm not supposed to live past the age of 30. I'm 63. I'm still kicking. You know why? Because it's not over until God says it's over. So whatever you're going through, hang on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. And tonight's subject going to be, how do we overcome? How do we overcome? How can a 63-year-old preacher doing this for 44 years, how can you overcome? I was born dead for 18 minutes. The oxygen could not get to my brain. And therefore, I was born dead for 18 minutes. Therefore, I started overcoming the day I was born. 63 late years later, I'm still overcoming. I overcome it every day in my life. I mean, you won't understand this, but every morning when I get up, I put on my shirt. It takes me about 45 minutes to put on my shirt. Because cerebral palsy and burdens don't go together. And these buttons are built, I dispatched those. And the button under the knot of my tie, that button is from the pit of hell. No wonder nobody have time but me. Idiot. But even though you don't have cerebral palsy, I guarantee you, you have something to overcome. And nobody knows about it but you and God. And tonight, I want to tell you how to overcome Revelation chapter 12, 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life until death. They overcame him, overcame the devil. If you are a child of God tonight, your number one enemy is not your spouse. Your number one enemy is not your mother-in-law, even though my come real close. Duh. But your number one enemy, if you are a child of God, your number one enemy is the devil, the thief, coming to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says, he is roaring like a lion, and he wants to devour you. And if the devil cannot get to you, he's going to go for your children and your children's children. But thank God, the Bible said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I love the blood of the Lamb. There was power. One work of power in the blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there will be no forgiveness, no remission of sin. One can wash away all my sin. Tell me, church, nothing but the blood of Jesus. One can make me over again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, patience is flow. That means why that's no other found and no nothing but the blood of Jesus. Last Sunday, we celebrate Easter. Jesus died for you on the cross to forgive you and me of sin. But number two, he died and shed his blood that we might be an overcomer every day. Number two, are we on the same page? Number two, they overcame by the word of their testimony. Now look at me. Every one of you have a story. You don't have my story, I don't have your story, but we do have a story, don't we? And the older I get, the more I'm convinced, the more I tell my story, the more I overcome. Because the Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Therefore, if I tell my story every day, I will overcome every day. If I do not want to overcome on Monday, I will keep my mouth shut. The more you tell your story, the more you overcome. You say, preacher, wait a minute, my story is too long. No, it's not. Your story is not too long. Your story is three words. May I give you your story tonight, may I? Your story is, I am blessed. That's your story. You'd say, Peter, you don't know where I've been. No, I don't. But I know more than for sure, you are blessed tonight. You can say, well, I'm going through hell in my life tonight. Well, you might be going through hell tonight, but you are going through hell blessed. Therefore, let's say our story together. I am blessed. Say it again.
I am
louder.
I am blessed.
One more time.
I am
One more time. Therefore, the next time somebody come up to you and say, how are you? Say, I'm blessed. And leave out all the other details. They don't give a whip. Especially church people. I've been working with them for 44 years. I'm so afraid to ask church people how they doing. Number one, I'm afraid they're going to tell me. Number two, I don't want to know. How you doing, man? Oh, my back killed me. How you doing, so? I don't think I'm going to make it today. That's pitiful. Every little pain you go through, you'd say, woe is me, woe is me, woe is my feet, woe is my leg, woe is my back, woe is my head. Oh, get over it. Take a number and get in line. Amen? Amen? And some people think I have a handicap. No, I don't. I have a platform to tell my story, which is I am blessed. Some people tell me I have a disability. No, I don't. I have a platform to tell my story, which is I am blessed. Some people think I have a problem to deal with that. I don't have a problem. I have an opportunity to tell my story, which is I am blessed. People think I have a burden to bear. I don't have a burden to bear. I have a blessing to share. Now look at me. Cerebral palsy is not a punishment. Cerebral palsy is a blessing. May I prove it? May I? I'm the only man alive. Been the four children. It never changed one diaper. I'm blessed. I remember when my wife was having our children, she would give them one every now and then and say, here, go tell, go change the diaper. I said, no, me, I have cerebral palsy. And she was dumb enough to believe it. She knew if I changed the diaper, it'd be all over the wall. Now, don't you wish you have cerebral palsy? I know you do. Look at my life for a moment. How can you laugh in so much pain? Born dead for 18 minutes. The oxygen could not get to my brain. And when I came out, I was a dead baby, I was a blue baby, I was a stillborn baby. And because my mama was dying on the delivery table, they put my body on a table against the wall, and I lay on the table for 18 minutes dead. Can you imagine? Me being dead for 18 minutes, I'm not supposed to be here. They tell me if you are dead more than 7 minutes, every brain cell is dead. And I lay on the table for 18 minutes. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be a vegetable. Do you know that? But thank God, I'm not a vegetable. Do you know why? Because it's not over until God say it's over. What the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. And remember the child of God. God always had another plan for the dead baby. When I was 11 years old, my daddy died. My daddy got sick. 2 weeks later, my daddy died of cancer of the liver. Well, I'm the baby of the family. I'm the baby of eight. And I'm not only the baby of eight, I'm a eight number one mama baby boy. You can tell by looking at me, I'm a mama boy. Because I got the mama baby face. You know, the face only a mom can love. Boy, some of you been there too, huh? Some of you look like you've been beaten with a ugly stick. Do you know what I mean? U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. You may be blessed, but you're still ugly. Leon told me to tell you that. I would never say that on my own. But being a special needs child, my mama overcompensated everything in my life. My mama fed me. Because every time I feed myself, the food fall and fork in my spoon, and my mama thought it would be easier if she fed me, and it would. And my mama talked for me, because every time I open my mouth in public, nobody can understand me. Therefore, my mama did all the talking, because mama did not want a baby to suffer. And I tell people all over the country, if you are a mom tonight, you understand this even more than I do. But one day in my life, my mom got sick. And she had an operation the day before Mother's Day, 1968. July, 2 months later, the doctor came to me and my family and said, your mama will never come home again because the love we remember from your mom's breast 4 years ago, it came back in the neck and your mom is eaten up with cancer and she gonna die in 6 months. I thought, no. Not my mama, my mama not gonna die. My mama told me every day, David, I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. I will always be there for you. I will always defend you. You can always count to mama. Mama not gonna die on me. Because mama is the only one that loves me just the way I am. My mama not gonna die. Is she? October 16th, 1968, my mama drew her last breath. And when my mama died, I saw my mama go from 185 pounds to 57 pounds. It is unbelievable. Once I saw two big, strong hands that picked me up. Many times now they are feeble and they are skin and bone. And when my mama died, I died. Everything in me, I didn't want to live, I wanted to die. My mama lied to me. My mama told me I will never abandon you, but yes, did the other man abandon me. She'd say she always going to defend me, but every time I out in public and people pulled their finger and said, look, the boy walk when I look, the boy talk when I look, that boy getting another one, it's no fun to be my fun of. And I could not any longer go home to my mama and say, mama, somebody made fun of me today. She couldn't pull her arm around me and make it all better. People look at me. I was 14, 15, 16, and I would lay in the bed every day, every night, with tears rolling down my face. Why? Because I would die in a slow death of loneliness. My sister, that took me in, they were four boys, four girls, in my family, and the sister that stepped up to the plate and took me in, she molested me for 2 years. I can't believe that is a part of my story. I can't believe how anybody can molest anybody, but it's hard for me to understand how a sister, biological sister, 14 years older than me, how she took advantage of me and how she stole my innocence. I attempted suicide. Every other day, I wonder why. Every time my sister molests me, she tells me stuff like, I'm only doing what I told mama I'm going to do. Mama told me to take care of you, and I'm only doing that. I'm taking care of you. That's sick in anybody's mind. And what's so sicker than that, my sister come to church. Everybody in the church think my sister is a saint. But I got news for them. She everything but a saint. She is a monster. And believe me, you don't ever judge a book by its cover. And therefore, do you remember the song that we used to sing growing up? Whoa, 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 you boat. Jenny down the stream, are you with me? Finish it. Merrily, 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 merrily. Whoa, 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 you boat.